Yeah.
So the Yerushalmi and the Michilta are very, very similar in terms of the conceptualization of the Isser. They draw from all three places, even though the Psukim give one slightly different impressions, whether the issue is Asher Isam Es Mitzrayim Hayom, Lo Sosifun Lerosam Od Ad Olam, whether the issue is the Derech, which is referred to both in Shoftim and Kisavo, which we know may lead us a little bit more in the direction of the Yireim. I tried to make a very subtle diuk between the Yerushalmi and the Michilta, which is that the Yerushalmi speaks in terms of Lashuv, and the Michilta speaks in terms of Lachzor. So it's not Mochrach, but you know, one might suggest that Lachzor is more oriented to the Derech, but Derech Asher Amarti Lecha, Lo Sesif Od Lir Osa, and, you know, Lashuv might be more oriented towards Yeshiva. Like the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin, there's nothing wrong with going back for Pragmatia, for Schora, for Kibbutz Haratzos, for embassy and consular investigations. You know, my brother was within his halachic rights. But in terms of those villas on the Nile, that's going to be more of a question. That's where there's, you know, a great deal of literature. As far as the Bavli is concerned, it's not as obvious. There's an Agada in Sukkah and an Aleph Amid Beis. But as far as the, you know, Agada is concerned, it does seem like there's an Isser over there, right? There's this idea of Misa Bidei Shamayim, Al Yedei Alexander the Great. And the Pasuk which is said is the Pasuk in Shoftim. V'lo Yashev Esam Bitzrayim Eleman Har Bosos V'Hashem Amar Lachem Lo Sosifun Baderech Hazeh Lashuv Baderech Hazeh Od. So that is cited by the Gemara and the Rambam Paskin that as well. Now, well, we basically have two fundamentally different, so far, conceptualizations of the Isser. One of them is rooted in, as we like to say, Kema'asei Eretz Mitzrayim Asher Yashavtem Ba Lo Sasun, V'Kema'asei Eretz Kanaan Asher Ani Mevi Eschem Shama Lo Sasun V'Chukoseyam Lo Seilechu. Now, the way that we deal with Eretz Kanaan is by removing the Kananim, or at least significantly modifying their behavior to the point where they no longer present a cultural threat. Litzninim ve'enechem, a thorn in our side, spiritually speaking. Vayakashardimisi lasos lahem e'eselochem. In terms of Mitzrayim, the firewall is created in the opposite fashion. There's no din of killing Mitzrayim, but there's a din of going back to Mitzrayim. The question was, according to this approach, which we affiliate with the Rambam, and for very good reason, he appeals to, you know, ma'aseihem ha'mikul kolim v'ha'migunim. This too can be taken in one of two different directions. How much is it about the Mitzrayim, and how much does the Isser become formalized as it did in Mitzrayim? Right? So the Rambam says nothing about the Mitzrayim per se, right? Even though there is discussion of that in the Tosefta, right? Rabbi Kiva, the Tosefta and Kiddushin, contra the Tosefta that we assume is normative, the Tosefta and Yadayim of Rabbi Yeshua, that a Mitzrayim, Nasalam Akas of Kitzvah, Achrei Arbeim Shana. But it's possible to say that since the Mitzrayim are no longer there, the Rishonim do discuss it, maybe there's nothing really wrong with it. The Rambam formalized the Isser, and the Rambam basically said that it would remain Isser, in his opinion, until there was no longer really a Chaloshei Mitzrayim. Eitan, what do I mean by that? That there's no longer really a status of Mitzrayim to the location? Right, it has Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, Al Yedei Kibush Rabim, Melech, you know, Alpi Bezdim. And that approach, right, you know, we already saw an echo of in the Hoyim Ekdavar, and the idea is that, you know, like the Chamarim and the Gamalim of the Mishnah and Sanhedrin, in terms of the Yerani Dachas, they're not likely to get caught up in Narishkeit and Avodah Zarah, because they've got wares to sell, dollars to be made, you know, the business is business, you know, that kind of a thing. So, you know, the Hayim Ekdavar thinks that that's the nature of the tour. If Ari's on a business trip, he's not going to be getting caught up in the shenanigans of whatever people are doing in Cairo or Alexandria or, you know, Ismaila or any of the other, you know, Sharm el Sheikh and the other Egyptian places. He's going to be focused on, you know, dollars and cents. And so that's, you know, very much along the lines of Shitas HaRambam. The Urayim is a fascinating shita where he talks about the Derech as the dispositive element. V'heshivcha Hashem Mitzrayim Bonios, Baderech Asher Amarti Lecha Lo Sosifod Dirosa Kisavo, as well as the Pesukim Shoftim, as we noted. And, you know, it raises a whole discussion. There are some Achronim, as I pointed out, according to his view, say, oh, to violate this, you literally have to travel all 48 stops in reverse, right? You know, including all of the, you know, esoteric ones. Risma, Dafka, Etzion Gaver. You know, Funon is one of my favorites. Who could forget Funon? Elim, it would be hard to leave, you know, the oasis. The Shivim Tamarim, you'd want to say, I ate of all of the tamarim. I had a date from each tamar, you know. Other travel logs from Elim. So in any event, what's that? Oh, for sure. Shnemis Rein Osmayim. You'd have a comparison, you know. Exactly. Now, personally, Shimon, I drink tap. But I can't afford bottled water. But the bottled water that I've had that's the best water is Litvak water, otherwise known as smart water. You know it? What's that? Yeah. I thought that's where smart water does come from. No? Sham samlo choku mishpat, you know, visham nisahu, you know, the waters of Mara, you know, would be indicated as such. I thought smart water was Elim water. Okay. You know, that's what Chazal say, is that in Elim, you know, they learned all the halachos that they were given in Mara, except the water was better. Anyways, I just made that assumption. I guess I should read the wrapper. Okay. So in any event, that's, you know, a very fascinating shita. And I think the consensus yesterday was that it was like some act of insouciance, you know, klape mala, that to reverse Yetzias Mitzrayim is, you know, connotes a level of disrespect, kfoy tova, in that regard. And so there's much more to be said about that. Now, fundamentally, these aren't mutually exclusive. We're going to try anyway to demonstrate that that might be a shita in the Rishonim, that it could be both, right? You could hold that there's an issa daraisa to be chozer from Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim and to live there, in which case the nafkamina as to whether you're coming from Madagascar to Mitzrayim or Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim is lav or lav belav achas o shtei lavin, right? Because if you are coming from Eretz Yisrael, then you could incur the Urayim plus a Rambam-style lav, right? So if we could identify such a shita, you know, it would be magnificent. So what we'll try. So that's where we left off, essentially. So let's begin today with the Radvaz, the Ritva, the Rabbeinu Bechai. Everything is organized very systematically, as you'll see, in terms of the way that, you know, the different approaches to the Kihilos Mitzrayim, all of those villas that my brother saw, like how do we explain that? Again, much easier to explain according to the Urayim than the Rambam, because you'll just say, oh, well, they weren't coming from Eretz Yisrael. Maybe they were coming from Libya. Maybe they were coming from Italy or wherever else. So they settled in Mitzrayim, and there's nothing wrong with, you know, how they settled there. So that's the big question. So let's take a look at the Radvaz. Now, a little bit of biographical information in order. The Radvaz, the Radvaz was the Av Bezdin of the Jewish community in Egypt for the vast majority of his life. Later, much later in his life, he actually made Aliyah and first went to Yerushalayim and then found his way up to, you know, the Tzfat area, became part of that Chabura surrounding Rabbi Yosef Karo in the 16th century. Very, very important, you know, time in Jewish history, the, you know, Chiddush HaSmicha around that time. So in any event, Eitan did a wonderful job yesterday. So today, just see. Try to see who's in between. KD? Yeah. Okay. Exactly. And there's, like, how did KD end up all the way over there in Egypt? That's what they were wondering. Okay. Okay. So who's he alluding to, clearly? Miraim Rabbi Lazar Mimetz, right? A great Balei HaTosfos. Right. That's the pasuk in Bishalach, right? So sifun the rosam od ad olam. So what are you going to do with that? That's one of the sources. Revach, Hamizonos. And to make a living. So he wants to say, Aser lis yashivba. Maybe it's only an Iser. We'll see what that means. Ela shem yisof halashon. Intellectual honesty never hurt anybody. Mashma deika iser lav. Shekasa vein lokin alav ze. Right? The Rambam explains that, as we said, it's lav shein mamaisa, because when he walked in, right, it's not clear that you're there for purposes of lishtakei hasham, for living, right? And then when you decide to live there, right, it's usually passive. It's like not getting off the couch is the problem. Okay? Okay, so that's an interesting answer for the Rambam. Maybe he really had no choice. He was employed, you know, by the Sultan. He was actually employed, you know, sort of working in the harem and making sure that the concubines were in, you know, basically were in good health, and they didn't really have a choice about that. Vigamani, and then the Radvaz, is willing to put his cards on the table. A very fascinating point in the Radvaz. So the Radvaz's argument in a word, literally one word, would be that his take would be that the Isser is really Aviga, go ahead. Well, right, I mean, that's obviously what he's saying. But what's his whole, you know, Micah, what's his whole point? He says, learning Torah justifies it, and then they were there, and then they had to make a living, and it was, you know, a big tircha. What's he making the case for? That the Isser... Oh, that's obvious, that's the Mechayev, but what's the level of the Isser? Shimon? Yeah, we all agree about that. Right? The Isser is to live there, right? He's generally speaking going in the direction of the Rambam as opposed to the Yireim, right? He rejects the Yireim at the beginning. So Zayn's a Tam Aspik. It doesn't really make sense, right? And he brings the Yerushalmi and Sanhedrin. Yeah, he clearly is within the camp of the Rambam, but what's his Chiddush? Micah, what does he mean when he says... You know, is it a Yisura or is it a Lav? What's he talking about? Sariel?
It's not really it's not a Lav, it's just like an Isser.
Well, translate that into
it's,
something
no
comprehensive.
Because you have to be there, there's nothing you can do about it. And people just stop realizing and focusing about it.
You're not being counterculture to their.
Well, right, that's like an elegant spar in terms of the Limud HaTorah, but what's he saying? What do you mean Lav versus Isser? Well, why is he focused so heavily on the language of the Rambam? What's he saying? And this is the kind of thing that Tircha could overcome, or the fact that you were there for a good reason might overcome it. Eitan, you're saying something very elegant, but it would be quite a big chiddush to say it at a maximal level. So what's he saying? In one word would suffice. What's that? That may well be so, but... Well, I don't think he's saying it's optional. It's an isser, but... Yeah. It's an isser derabanan. Right? That's why he keeps on saying, oh, well, you know, beginning of the Rambam, I would say that it's an isser derabanan, but then the Rambam did say... If it's a lav and you don't get malchus, it's a lav shein b'maisa, so I have to acknowledge that. But maybe the other communities there felt it was only nisr derabanan and b'makom hefseid l'gazru rabanan. You couldn't make a living anywhere else, right? Now you understand what he's saying, what the whole piece is about. Maybe for purposes of limud Torah, well, you know, the rabbis, where it really goes there in that situation, you can't allow Jews in a chutz laretz just to, you know, die on the spiritual vine. That's what he's saying. It's maybe only nisr derabanan. This is a new shita. So within the general camp of the Rambam, to say that there's an Issur Derabanan, it's an Issur Derabanan. It's much more susceptible to things of B'makom Mitzvah, B'makom Hefseid, B'makom Hefseid Merubah, B'makom Tzar, B'makom, you know, so well, that's what he's saying, right? Clearly. Okay, the Ritzvah, you know, goes one step further, one second off. I just want to finish the spectrum here of the Ritzvah and Rabbeinu Bechaya, then we'll have an opportunity to take some stock. Tzvi, you want to do the honors here? The Ritva, Rabbeinu Bechaya. Miu Tmiya Milsa, Masam Cholam Lagur, Bizmanazam Mitzrayim, Kona Rambam, Gedolim Acherim, says the Ritva. Everybody was fascinated by the Rambam. You see how highly they held of him to ask such a question, right? They thought he was, you know, not that special. They wouldn't be so bothered. They would say, okay, you know. Well, very fascinating idea. Says maybe the Isser is on Mitzrayim, like in a historical sense. You take a snapshot of Mitzrayim circa, you know, the days of Moshe Rabbeinu. Yetzias Mitzrayim happened in the year 2448. You know, so, but by now all this urban planning has been updated, you know. That's a fascinating idea. So that would be like in, right, Shimon, like an uber Eretz Mitzrayim qua Eretz perspective. Like if you have new cities, the Isser was never chal, you know, on that particular structure, on that particular city. It's not the same Eretz Mitzrayim. It's like really interesting. That represents, right, I think, a very fascinating view. In any event, he quotes the Yireim, V'anachon Yoser, then what's his, you know, Shruyin al admasam. Wow. So he says, he thinks that the real pshat is that the Isser only applies when Jews are sovereign in Eretz Yisrael. But if we're in Galus altogether, so then there's no Isser. Who wants to explain that? Would the Lamdus be behind such a Shita? Shimon?
If the whole point of, for example, like with the Urim, the whole point is that they would undo Yitzhak Yisrael, well, once you're out of Eretz Yisrael, that's kind of all
yeah, away. Correct. That's exactly right. Right, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has already reversed the Yetzias Mitzrayim. He already kicked you out of Eretz Yisrael. You can't kick yourself out any further. Right? You won't fire me, I resign. You know, it doesn't help. So that I think is a very fascinating idea, which might, you know, really, really work within the... So the Radvaz is in the camp of the Rambam with a modification. So like the Ritva is basically in the camp of the Yireim, but with his own spin, right? His own modification... That you can't really undo Eretz Mitzrayim or Yetzias Mitzrayim any more than it's already been undone, right? Kevan Shegalu, right? Shimon, your point is very reminiscent of the Gemara about Halel, right? On Neisha B'chutzar, it's Kevan Shegalu Huchzuru Kol Aratzos Lomar Lehen Shira, right? Because you know, if Klal Yisrael is in Eretz Yisrael, what kind of miracle is it outside of Eretz Yisrael? Who really cares? But Kevan Shegalu, you could argue, you know, Chazru le'Teran Harishon, because that's where Klal Yisrael really is. Rabbeinu Bechaya, go ahead, Svi. And then Avi, we're going to come back to you. I just wanted to establish the spectrum. So the Radvaz wants to say, you know, Isser D'Rabbanan. The Ritva says maybe there's no Isser at all altogether. Bisman Hagalos. And Rabbeinu Bechaya, Tam Mavak of the Ramban, Hashem Amar Lechem Lo So Sifun Lashu Baderech Hazod. Oh, Fishahayu Amitzim Nodim for some in Bechol Toeva, Kinyin Shakasa Maser Tetraim Lechach Siva Lahem Kain. Kama kihilos darosha me'az ad hayim. Ilu haisa mitzvah l'deiris. Right, there's no way the Jewish community would, you know, be violating in Issa Daraisa in such a flagrant way. And even if they would, v'ilu asu kein. Well, who wouldn't let it stand? The rabbis. That's right. The RCBC would be sending missives. And, you know, what are you doing, you Egyptian dwellers? So it must be permissible. Now, what's the nature of the Issa of Rabbeinu Bechaya? Clearly within the general camp of the Rambam, but with his own twist. Namely, that it was only Asr when, Sariel?
When at a specific time.
Well, and why? What, I mean, he doesn't explain this. Why would only be an Issa Shah as opposed to an Issa Doros? Ah, so you're saying maybe Egyptian culture got better. Yeah. That's really interesting. Okay? The Vishanshi Mitzrayim, right, the Shayo Mitzrim Nodim before Sam Bechol Toeva Kinshkasev Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim. Eina Mitzladora Shasra Kasev Adira Mitzrayim La'olam. Maybe the Egyptians, you know, they did some kind of a national tshuva. Right? He doesn't pin it on Sancheirev. So I think that's a very viable approach. Right, it's sort of the Rambam's camp, but remember we said before you could take that in one of two directions. Is it about the Mitzrim or is it about Mitzrayim? And the Rambam said, oh, it got formalized to be about Eretz Mitzrayim until you have the issue of, you know, Kibush Rabim, which Eitan points out. And maybe if Sariel is right, which I think there's a good chance that he is, that Rabbeinu Bechaya is saying is it's Takadin in the Mitzrim. It's really about Egyptian culture, and if you could demonstrate that Egyptian culture had changed, then it wouldn't apply anymore. However, there is one other possibility for Rabbeinu Bechaya. Let's assume the Egyptians are just about as bad as they always were, but, Sariel?
You could say it's maybe it's Israel only Derabanan. The fact that you say that the Chachamim had the
I don't see him making chilukim about Derabanan's Daraisas. No, no, say the rabbis would tell you, don't do this, you're violating a serious Isser.
But you said that they did.
Right, so that's his raya, that it's a heter gamor. Yeah, Ariel? Right, okay, so that's basically saying that it's a din in the Mitzrim. But think conceptually. Either it's a din in the Mitzrim or Micah. Yeah, they were vulnerable. This is a generation that, you know, was most, you know, ensconced within Egyptian culture. So it's not that the Egyptians got any better. It's just that, you know, Klal Yisrael were more confident in our, you know, rootedness in Torah and Mitzvos. This isn't the generation that was, you know, at, you know, Goy Mikarev Goy, you know, so deeply, deeply, deeply rooted in the Kur HaBarzel. You know, read the Rambam in Hilchos Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph, where the Rambam talks about, you know, Kimat Kat HaIkar Sheshasol Avram Avinu. Speaking of Avram.
Is there any, like, relation between this Isser and the leaving Eretz Yisrael? Because it seems like the, like, permissibilities for leaving it are kind of similar. Torah and Torah.
Right. Right. And the Rambam codifies them similar place. So that's an interesting thought in general. You know, the Rambam says it's Mutar Lishkon B'chol HaOlam Chutz Me Eretz Mitzrayim. So, you know, but it's interesting just to make an observation. The Rambam is to leaving Eretz Yisrael like what the Urayim is to Mitzrayim. So the Rambam was much more focused, as we've talked about, in Yitzia Meretz Yisrael L'chutz La'aretz, that, you know, Malin B'Kodesh V'lo Moridin. I'd like to say that B'derech Melitza, like the Urayim, is super focused on not retracing one's steps to Mitzrayim. It seems like that's the issue for the Rambam. So anyway, I've alluded to a number of times the possibility of synthesis. Like, is it possible to take the Rambam and his camp, including the Radvaz and, you know, Rabbeinu Bechaya, and the Yireim and his camp, you know, and the Ritva, and others, and to say that really you could hold of both of them. So I wanted to show one particular Makor that I think actually does make this point, which is a Sefer HaChinuch. So Gavi, if you don't mind, just taking the Sefer HaChinuch. So far it sounds a lot like the Rambam, right? That the uniquely debased culture of the Mitzrayim is the issue at stake. Megunim, right? So it's definitely 90% Rambam. What I'm just going to argue is that there's 10% Yireim in here. Why do I say that there's 10% Yireim? I mean, mostly about, you know, Maaseim HaMegunim, Mikul Kalim, but what's the echo of the Yireim that you can really, maybe two expressions. Shimon? Exactly. So, right, reversing that process, right, that was a great Chesed HaBore, the greatest of all, right? And then the Vilti, right? So there is that echo. If a person's, you'd have to have a attuned ear. If you didn't know about the Yireim, you would just say it's straight Rambam, and that might be. But you know, to me, it's 90% Rambam and 10%, you know, flavor of the Yireim. That it's undoing what HaKadosh Baruch Hu dreamt of for us. You know, that we would be separated from the debased nature of Tarbut Mitzri. Yeah, Eitan, go ahead.
But the Pesach in, against the Ritva, the Pesach in Shema says, those Sifri Lerotam owed Adam.
Right.
So, how bad would that be for
you guys, Lo So Sifri Lerotam owed Ad Olam, this generation. Right. So the Ritva is saying, you know, it's harder. It's not impossible. Okay, so let's take a look. Let's you know, go a little bit further. I want to introduce like a whole new perspective, you know, based on a really fascinating Ramban, but we're going to have to build up to it. Okay, so let's go, you know, we'll sort of go back to the Gemara, the issue of Sus and Susim, Rabbi Akiva Eger's Kasha. Spent a lot of time whether to, you know, front load or back load Rabbi Akiva Eger. I decided to front load it, but just to, again, Rabbi Akiva Eger reminding us that, you know, the natural way to read the pasuk in Shoftim would be to say Lo Yashiv Asam Mitzrayim is a separate and distinct law from Rak Lo Yarbelu Susim. Right? These are two different issues. The pasuk, you know, sees something conjunctive about them, but you know that these Yisurim are distinctive, and the Bali Atosos in their own way have such an idea. So let's take a look at the Rambam in the Pirush HaMishnayos, the Rambam in Hilchos Melachim. This is where the Rambam deals with the issue of Susim. Avishai, go ahead. So this is the Rambam in the Perush HaMishnayos, and if you don't mind taking the Rambam in the Yadah Chazak also, this will set us up to appreciate the distinctiveness of the Ramban and Saadia Gaon. Arvos Muchanos Lurkov Hu Bahem Beza Yom Shirtsa, you know, these recreational horses. That was a common pastime amongst ancient kings, which to have many horses, that was, you know, like a way of demonstrating their royal prestige. Right, so he's allowed to have one personal horse, but not more than that. Now, the Rambam doesn't say anything here, but let's say he has 25 extra horses. Is that 25 lavin or one? So let's go to the Yad HaChazaka for that. Okay, go ahead, Avishai. Lo yarbelo susim el kedemer kavto. So he can obviously take care of his Merkava, his chariot. No, those words, Im Hosif Loka, how do you take them to mean? What does that mean, Im Hosif Loka? Is there a couple of possibilities, but Eitan Book? Right, it's how I would have said what you said. That if the Rambam really meant al kol sus v'sus, I think the burden of proof is on saying that, right? If you really believe that that's the case, I think you have to state that explicitly. When he says im hosif loka, it's possible to say, oh, you get malkos every single time you're mosif, but that... I don't think that Jason Cyrilnik, you know, if an associate of his drafted such a brief, he would say, this is unclear, you know, from a legal point of view. So im hosif loka sounds a lot like what I wanted to say, what Rabbi Akiva Eiger wanted to say, and only slightly before us, what the Rambam wanted to say, that the issue isn't whether you have 400 extra horses or 463 extra horses. Or as one of my sons likes to say when he wants to go for a big number, 1,100 horses, okay? You know, which is a very big number, you should know. So that's not the issue, it's just im hosif loka. And I tell you, that's the way it seems to me. Okay, so let's take a look at the Kesef Mishnah to see, you know, his take on this. Okay, so Micah, go ahead. Lo yarbe lo susim el kedei merkavto. It's our sugya. This is going to get good. He's quoting the Gemara. So you see what's coming. You know, he's going to have to deal with the issue. So we say lavor belosa say al kol sus v'sus. So the Kesef Mishnah pulled to Jason Cyrilnik. And he says, you know, he probably should have stated that explicitly. But there might be a very good reason the Rambam didn't state so explicitly. Was he having, like, you know, a foggy day? Was he just not, you know, writing clearly? Would we say such a thing about Rabbeinu HaGadol? What's more likely, General? Why didn't the Rambam say that? Avi? Because he doesn't believe it. That's exactly right. That's why he didn't say it. Because he doesn't believe it. If he believed it, he would have said it. So the Kesef Mishnah thought, oh, you know, probably the Rambam should have said it. But we're saying, no, the Rambam, his whole point is that the excess is the issue. Avi, we're in total sync here. And point out to me, both based on the Perush HaMishnayos and the Yad HaChazaka, how we can bring a very strong raya to the idea that the Rambam says there's no difference if you're Marbe Be'echad or Marbe Be'63 or even 1,100, that you're getting one set of Malkos. Because what does the Rambam say the Mechayiv is? That's exactly right. They can change your name, but they can't change you. Sharp as a tack. Okay? So that's right. The whole point is that was what ancient kings did. The Mechayiv is trying to be like, you know, Gavi, Louis XIV of Versailles. And saying, this is my horse, Soissons Dieu. So that's the problem, is that he's stylizing himself after, you know, some kind of... You know, whether it's, after the royalty of Versailles, or he's stylizing himself after the house of the Hohenzollerns, or he's stylizing himself after, you know, the Franz Josef in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, this idea of kechol hagoyim is the problem. So the Rambam, I think, makes it very clear that isn't. He's saying exactly what Rabbi Akiva Hager wanted him to say. That's exactly what the issue is. Lo yarbe lo susim. Oh. So let's see the Radvaz. Okay. Who was it? Yitzchak Moshe? Go ahead. It's a Mitzvah. Parsha Shoftim, lo yar below susim gam zesham. Come lo yar below susim biachav the kedim rav the farsh. Tam lo mer lo. Lo ne rabba maru kedim parasha v'rich ba manu kemi susim. But lo ne minayin shafilu susachad v'batel shu below yar be. Ooh, okay. Not going to find, he's not going to find a friend in me. Okay? Inami, delonafkamina, midi, dimlacha, chokham zara, chaza, isrivo, pshito, shaloka, kosos, visos. That's because it's so obvious. So obvious, huh? Wow. Okay. So, the Radvaz is kind of all over the map here. Either it's a different girsa, or it's like completely obvious that if he bought them all at once, he's not really chayev a different set of malkos for each set of sus. And if he bought them all separately, right, he should be mechayev, malkos arboim for each and every one. I think that, lulei de mistafina, the Radvaz is spinning at windmills here. The Rambam should have said all of this if that was the case. The Rambam understood that there was an Isser to be Mosif, Afilu Susachad. And, yeah, Eitan.
Would it be a separate law every single day? Because every day that you hold out to the
point. Okay, very good. So... Because, right, it's not about the Radvaz, this is, you took the words out of my mouth. The Radvaz has this orientation to, like, the Maisa Kinyan, as if that's what we really care about. We don't care about that. It's Totsah oriented. Leman harbo sus. Lo yarbalo susim. Right? Who cares about whether you bought them, on Amazon Prime, every single day, you bought another one. Or that you bought them in bulk. Like, why would that matter? Where do you see that that's the issue? I think that's like a... It's a misdirection. The Rambam, it's what Avi said. It's Kederach Sharam Lachem. It's not the Maisa Kinyan. So, Eitan, you're absolutely right about that. I think. So, again, the Kesef Mishnah and the Radvaz, they're like... They're holding the Rambam to... that particular shita in the Gemara. And it's not clear to me that the Rambam accepted that. Not because you have different girsa. Okay? I mean, the Rambam didn't consider that to be aliba de hilchasa. Okay? All right, so let's take a look at Rabbi Isser Zalman, and then I want to try to really break through with the Ramban and Sadigon. Okay, so Micah, go ahead. So this is for Bisser Zalman. Lo yarbe lo susim, mekdem rikavto. Hiksha, radvaz, remivur, gemar, dem yach, susach, aruba, tel, kaib, lo yarbe, lamali. Right, so Mishani, the Gemara answers. Lo sasel, kosos, visos, veramam, hishmitza, vitirates. Like so obvious. Adkan Devarav. So Rabbi Isser Zalman says, "He doesn't make sense to him." Dim Kane.
The Alma Haya
The Rambam should say that, right? You say this is so obvious, and right, Rabbi Yisrael Zalman is saying not obvious at all. Right, you're saying a big chiddush. Both the reason that Eitan said, and also you should tell me, right? When do I get Malkos? When do I not get Malkos?
In there, the Rambam sort of writes Alkan Imkin
Alkarchach Savra the Lav Shein B'Maisa. That was the shita of the Braisa. The Braisa must have held that you get a Malkos, right, for a lav, she'ein bo maisa, right? Just the possession of each and every sus, right? But we don't pask in that way. Aval halacha dekai malan, she'ein bo maisa. Okay, so Mr. Zalman says that the Rambam was doche, you know, that line in the Gemara, because he thought that line in the Gemara was going aliba the man de amar, that you could get Malkos for lav she'en bo maisa, and we paskin you're going to get Malkos for lav she'esh bo maisa, so therefore the only Malkios can be associated with different Maisa Kenyan. So Eitan Barinholtz isn't going to be happy, right? Because, you know, Rabbi Yisrael Zalman, it wants to concede that there's some, you know, shaychus here to the Kenyan. But again, I think what we're saying, the fianias da'atenu, is actually much simpler and much more straightforward. That the Rambam didn't say it because he didn't believe it. And the Rambam didn't care whether you were Mosif be'echad or Mosif be'emillion. Because the issue is not the Maisa Kenyan. The issue isn't what the differential is between what you need and what you have. The Mechayev is what Avi said it is. Kederech Shar HaMalachim. That the guy is posturing like, you know, a foreign king. And that's the problem. Lo Suchal, Aseis Alecha Ish Nochri, Asher lo achicha, who, what are the next words in the Chumash? Rak lo yar belo nashim. Rak lo yar belo susim. Velo yashiv esam mitzrayim, eleman harbo sus. So the whole point is not 1 versus 10 versus 100 versus 1,000 versus a million, and it's not about them, you know, maisa kinyan, chametz pesach. I would say the Rambam meant exactly what he said. Im hosif loka. And for whatever reason, maybe Rabbi Yisrael Zalman is right because it has to do with the lav shein bo maisa. But I would say again, for the Rambam, lav shein bo maisa is always defined a little bit more in a sophisticated. You know, the Rambam says lo sachmud is a lav shein bo maisa, right? Because it's the internal obsession. So here, I would suggest that the mechayev is really to be like shar melachim. That was done once you went and acquired a horse that put you over the top. And from that point on, right, I don't think it's any different. So you're already over the top. You're already speeding. So speeding is speeding. Now it's true, you know, the analogy isn't perfect. You could be in a school zone, you could be doing 100 miles over the speed limit, but, you know, could be. Speeding is speeding. Excess is excess. And it seems to me that really is pshat in the Rambam. Okay. So that would then vindicate Rabbi Kiva Eger, and I think our natural reading of the Gemara, Rabbi Kiva Eger would say, is what the Rambam actually came up with. We saw Rabbeinu Bechaya, but of course we hadn't seen the Ramban, so let's try to take a look at the Ramban and Sadia Gaon, because I think this is a perfect place for us to finish off a few week deep dive into the world of Melech. We saw so far that there are 3, possibly 4, Yisura Deiraisa for the Melech, that are unique to the Melech, Susim, Kesef, Nashim, and the 4th would be for the Ramban, Isser, what's that? Oh, well, the Rambam says Shichrus, but that's only for Mishle, Al Mlachim, Al Shesuyayin, but Gaiva, right? Lashita Saramban. Okay, Sariel, you earned your just desserts. Scha Ramban, Ramban. Right. So just like Rabbi Kivager pointed out, I'm sorry to be so anachronistic constantly, but that was the price of us front-loading the Rabbi Kivager. So wait a second, what's the issue here? You're allowed to purchase things in Egypt. So that was Rabbi Kivager said, oh, maybe the one thing that you can't purchase in Egypt is horses, right? But the Ramban is asking that question. He says, I don't understand. If there's really an Isser here, but as the Yerushalmi says, it's about that kind of influence and their pernicious culture and Kemas Eretz Mitzrayim and Maaseim HaMikulkalim VaMigudim. So why is buying a horse there a problem? Why should that be any different than buying an apple or checking out an embassy? If you're buying a horse, you're not going to get caught up in, you know, the Kulturstorm of Mitzrayim and be blown away, you know, by their, you're just going to be super focused on what you're there to do. Oh. So says the Ramban. The Al Parashav Kiatzmu Ma'od. Oh. So what's the Ramban setting up? That Raklo Yarbelu Susim Sariel is what? Oh, outstanding. It's a separate and independent Isser. So we don't care where they come from. Amazon, Egypt, right? Eretz Yisrael, Bavel, Eretz Shinar, or that you got them in Egypt and Derech Schor. It's nothing to do with Egypt. The whole point is that he shouldn't have too much, you know, technology because he has to be Boteach B'Shem Elokav. He can have some reasonable amounts, but not Riboy. V'achar kach. His here al hamelech. Oh, so what's the second lav? That what does a king have a unique iser against? What does it mean? Velo yashiv esam mitzrayma. Number one, the king shouldn't have too many horses from anywhere. Number two, he shouldn't set up like a chain to try and extract horses from Egypt. Shlomo had, right, this massive chain, you know, of he had like trade representatives there and, you know, chambers of commerce and what have you. So it sounds, right, like the Ramban is saying that's a very targeted Isser. So for the Ramban, you'd have five Isurim of the Melech. Lo Yarbe, Susim, Nashim, Kesef, Gaiva, and Lo Yashiv Esa'am Mitzrayma, sort of like a subcategory, but a separate and distinct love of Lo Yarbe, Lo Susim. He shouldn't have too many horses in general, and what he certainly shouldn't have is like, you know, a chain of getting horses out of Egypt. That was the Motzah HaSusim. So Shlomo had that, right? He had people posted in Egypt, and in fact, Shlomo had gotten the franchise for, you know, there was a rule. Just like in the U.S., you can't extract certain kinds of defense technologies. For example, you know, you're not allowed to sell certain kinds of missile defense technologies. Big deal, the U.S. giving the Patriot missiles to the Ukrainians, right? Right. We don't want the Chinese getting our military technology. If they steal it, they steal it. Bad. But we're not looking for those things. So what was the ancient military technology, right? Horses. That was tanks. Those were, you know, armored personnel carriers, right? So there was a rule in Egypt. Nobody can take a horse out without explicit permission. But the king of Egypt gave that contract to Shlomo. which is really interesting. So that's the Ramban's idea, which again, like Rabbi Kiva Eger, two distinctive Isurim. One, lo yarbalu susim al kol panim. Two, lo yashiv es ha'amitzrayma lima'an harbosus. That the melech has a particular restriction against getting involved in the horse trade in Egypt by sending his representatives there. So the am here is really lav davka. It's not really the nation, Tzvi, but it's representatives. It's people who are posted there for a particular reason. Just like every country in the world today, in every United States embassy abroad, right? There's somebody who's the trade representative, who's in charge of whatever the United States trades with that country, whether it's iron or polonium or nickel or corn or beef, right? Every single embassy has a trade representative for whatever commerce goes on between that country and the United States. That's the way it works. So you can't have trade representatives in Egypt extracting the horses.
So is the Ramban saying that you specifically can't send people to Mitzrayim for the purpose of horses or for anything?
It says, he's totally focused on the horses. V'lo yashiv esam Mitzrayim v'leman harbosus.
So hypothetically, for another reason, you can set up people in Mitzrayim.
Doesn't sound like there's a problem with that, does it?
No.
How did you read the Ramban?
Same way.
Oh, okay, good. So you're going to be on my side now, because Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo, I think, did not do justice to that. That's why I was very excited to hear your comment. Okay, so that was the Ramban. Who said it? Ariel, once you greet pop, you can't stop. Okay, Ariel, go ahead. Today's like, you know, a medley. Okay, so the Melech can't be Mar Besusim, Nashim, and Mamon. And now you have this language of Ach Yoshiv Am. You can't do that either. Hine Lav Dol Yoshiv Zamitzrayim Eina Ela Azhara. Wow. Fascinating. There are two dinim. So there's an Isser on the nation, right? But there are that applies to the nation. But there's actually an Isser Daraisa for the Melech Velo Yashiv Esa'am Mitzrayim. Okay, now, General, please hold your thought here, because let's see what he does with that. They didn't count what Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo is saying is an additional law by the Melech, that he himself is not allowed to do that. It shouldn't be read as a prescription. They're not allowed. There's an issa daraisa to return the people to Egypt. It's a hemsheikh of the previous right clause in the pasuk. Rakli or belo susim belo yashiv esam mitzrayim is an extension of that discussion. Exactly what who didn't want to say? Rabbi Kiva Eger. And as you know, I have my doubts that the Rambam believed that. I think he actually fully agreed, right, that there were different issues on the table, right, and the issue was excess. Okay. Ela shiraisi l'Ramban shekasav lo yar belo susim. Yasi? Do we agree? Are they really two distinctive lavin? I mean, certainly for the Ramban, lo yarba lo susim is al kol panim, but lo yashiv es ha'mitzrayim, is that completely independent of horses?
No.
No, it didn't sound that way. You didn't think so, and I didn't think so, and we arrived at that conclusion independently. So al pishnai meidim yakum davar. Right? The Gripap is saying that the Ramban really was saying that Lo Yashiv Esa'am Mitzrayim is not horse-centric. Okay? The apple gob, go ahead, Ariel. Doesn't really have so much to do with horses. I don't know, I read the Ramban, the only thing the man talked about was horses. So what's the good news for Rif and Mishal Perlo is I think he's totally right about Sadi Gon. And guess what? Sadi Gon doesn't know the Ramban and Nickel. So I don't think this is synonymous with the Shita of the Ramban, but it is now what I call a third basic view of the sugya. We started out with the Rambam, Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim, that the Rambam makes it very much a din in Eretz Mitzrayim until you get to the Barinholtz stage, which is Kibush Rabim and Kiddushas Eretz Yisrael. And then you have Yireim, which isn't about Yeshiva Eretz Mitzrayim, Klal Uklal, but it's about the Derech and the reversal of Yitzias Mitzrayim. And then if you take our word for it, the Sefer Achinuch has 10% of the Yireim and 90% of the Rambam. And then you have all the, you know, their camps, right? The Rambam and his camp, and the Urayim in his camp, including the Ritva, etc. Now I think you have decidedly a third perspective, which is not mutually exclusive. A person could theoretically hold of all three. But what's the Shita of Sadi Gon? How is he building on our two established understandings? Avishai, what's his point? That what's the unique Isser of Mitzrayim? To whom does it speak to distinctively? What's the value added here? He says, of course, there's an Issa Daraisa for the Am to be in Mitzrayim. Ariel?
The king to bring the Am to Mitzrayim?
The Lo Yashiv Am Mitzrayim is in the Melech. The Melech, and I think this is a perfect coup de grace for us. You know what the Melech can't do? The Melech can't undermine. The Melech Malchei Hamlachim. This takes us back to the very beginning of the sugya of Melech. He can't undermine the Melech Malchei Hamlachim in the sense of the Yireim, in the sense of reversing Yitzias Mitzrayim, and he can't undo the Melech Malchei Hamlachim. He can't undermine him in the sense of bringing the people back to exactly where they shouldn't be because of their Masim Megunim Mekukalim. Whether you think it's about Yitzias Mitzrayim, Kwa Yitzias Mitzrayim, whether you think it's about Kimas Eretz Mitzrayim, he doesn't have the right to take the Jewish people back on that path and to that place. Right, Avishai, at that point, the Melech would be betraying what he exists for. It really would be Ki lo osi masu, lo oscha masu, ki osi masu mim lo chaleihem. This shita, to me, is tantalizing. Lo yarbe lo nashim, lo yarbe lo susim, b'chesev izav lo yarbe lo ma'od, v'vilti rum levavo me'achav, and maybe a fifth iser, v'lo yashiv esa'am mitzrayimah. A Jewish king can't possibly sell out the Jewish people. And the paradigmatic act of selling out the Jewish people is bringing us back to a cultural wasteland. A moral abyss. A spiritual morass. That would be an absolute betrayal. So Yossi, I agree. I don't think that the Ramban is synonymous with Sadi Gon. Rabbi Yochanan Fishel Perlo did. But the Ramban is saying, there is lo yashiv es'am mitzrayim lema'an harbo sus. Not lav davka. It's particular to the horse markets of Egypt. Persadigon, it was Kwali, it was general. The people aren't allowed to go there, and this king can't bring them there. Avi.
If that's like true, then what Shlomo Malch did was even worse, because he didn't just bring Eretz Yisrael to Mitzrayim, brought Mitzrayim to Eretz Yisrael.
There's no doubt. And all of the Lashonos in Chazal support that, right? That Chazal say the moment he married Bas Paro, Krach Gadol Shabiromi was, formed. That's exactly right. There's no way of overstating how bad what he did was. It's corrupting in every sense of the term. It really was a betrayal. And then Avi just, it's good Bikias here. So what happened with all of that Shlomo had amassed?
He lost it.
Who took it? Who actually took the wealth? Melachim Aleph Perek Yedalad. You guys learned this last year. Not in Shlomo's days, but in the days of Rechavam, who came? Right, how is Paro Necho referred to in that section of Mikra? Chazal assume it's Paro Necho, but he took everything. The Avos de Rav Nasan, Perek Mem Aleph, says that everything that Klal Yisrael took out of Mitzrayim ended up back in Mitzrayim. Who came and took it? Who took it? Which Melech Mitzrayim, right? The Melech Mitzrayim who recovered all of their assets? You guys pulling my chain? Shishak. Even Melechim last year. Shishak Melech Mitzrayim, but that's your point. The Avos Rav Nasan says, everything, by Yenasluetz Mitzrayim, everything that we took out of Egypt when we left was taken back. We fumbled it. That's when Rechava made, what did he make for himself? This is like the ultimate pathetic sign. Remember the bronze, shields that he made for himself, the Maginei Nechoshes? Yeah, in the place of the Zahav. Klei Chesed, Klei Zahav, Smalos, all of that was taken. So, I totally agree. And that's really the idea. So all of the themes that we talked about at the beginning of the Sugya of the Melech, I think come to life, if you accept Sadigon's rationale, that Lo Yashav Asa Mitzrayim is an Isser Prati on the Melech. That the Melech can't do this act. If you remember the Pesukim in Sefer Shmuel themselves, right after Kadosh Baruch Hu says to Shmuel, "Ki lo uschamasu ki osimasu mimloch aleihem," what are the next words in the Navi? "Miyom ha'alosam me'eretz Mitzrayim." That was the ultimate manifestation of Malchus Shamayim, to turn nature on its head and turn the world upside down and to bring us out of Egypt. And if a king, again, would take us back to Egypt, Hein mitzad ha'yireim, hein mitzad ha'rambam, it would be the ultimate repudiation of Malchus Shamayim, of undoing what it was that God did for us. That would truly be unforgivable. Okay, so what I wanted to say about Melech and second parak more generally, we'll be back in the first parak after the Bechina on Monday. I'll give you guys the rest of the time, 10 minutes or so, just to start Chazara. We have Micah and Ariel, Pshara, and Melech tomorrow. And...